Oh, it just said right now the recording is started. So I'll start now. Maybe I didn't want to have that. This is what I saw right off the bat. Even before I did the steps, even before I understood the steps, believe it or not, the first thing that worked for me was applying these traditions and concepts. It affected all my improved all my relationships immediately. I mean, within the week. And we're in so much pain when we walk in the door that the steps can take a while, right? Working through all that hurt of our past can take a while. I like to offer people something that will work right now, that will give relief right now. And so I'm just going to give an example of one concept, the concepts of service. They're basically spiritual principles that are supposed to oversee the service of SLAE worldwide, you know, member group, all the different levels, you know. But basically this is what they're about. How do you invite the power of God to provide kind, loving, productive, satisfying interactions between addicts, right? We're addicts working with other addicts to help other addicts. These are the guidelines that are going to optimize that interaction. And that's exactly what you want, right? In a romantic relationship, in a dating relationship, in a friendship, is because chances are, A, first of all, I'm the addict, right? There's going to be at least one addict in the interaction, that's me. Spiritual principles are going to be more helpful to me than anything else because I have a spiritual sickness. I'm not saying other things aren't great. I'm not saying that. But my experience is that spiritual principles invited a power into my interactions with other people that nothing else did, and it did it really, really fast. And I'm not the only person who thinks so. There's a Al-Anon. I started off in Al-Anon, and they talk about it a lot. I'm just going to read you from October 26, page 300, in case you think, how can anybody possibly get anything out of Concept 10? Says, when I was a child and asked my mother for permission to do something, she often said, ask your father. My father would say, ask your mother. My older sister acted more like parents than my mother or father did, often assuming the duties left unattended. Responsibility and authority were all mixed up in my family. I never really knew who was in charge, and I constantly felt confused. How refreshing it was when I came to Al-Anon and found a group of people whose behavior didn't echo the confusion from my childhood. Different members of my home group signed up on a monthly basis to chair the meeting, put out the literature, provide refreshments, and perform other duties. Other members served as elected officers, such as group representative and treasurer. Each role and its responsibilities were clearly defined, and each trusted servant had the authority to carry out his or her job. If there were any problems, the group always had a specific person to consult, depending on the nature of the obligation. That way, conflicts were resolved in an organized, simplified manner. In other words, rarely was there any chaos. Imagine that. I didn't realize at the time, but my group was practicing Concept 10. Quotation, service responsibility is balanced by carefully defined service authority and double-headed management is avoided. Unquote. Everyone knew who was answerable for what. No one tried to do anyone else's job. And all the work got done when it needed to be done. Clear, concise boundaries and the right to work within them made this possible. Thought for the day. If I made a list of the things I need to do and want to do today, how many entries would be my responsibility and how many would belong to others? Quotation, in practicing Concept 10, we set clear goals and trust each other to accomplish them. Unquote. Path to Recovery, page 311. And that's just an example of how this one concept, it's about It's about how do we set boundaries. It's about, well, when do I say something or when I don't? How do I say something? Who do I say it to? It is about how to have a spiritual approach to all of my feelings, all of my needs, how to express those in a way that will work out for me and for everybody else. And I didn't grow up in a family like that. It was good for my mom and it was bad for everybody else. And that idea that nobody had to be mean, nobody had to be critical, everybody got listened to, there was always a way to be heard, there was always a way to get your needs met, and it was supposed to be that way. That wasn't an infringement on anybody. And I'm going to just talk really briefly about, I know it doesn't sound like that much, you can do that much with that, but I'm going to talk just about, say, a meeting, okay? Because what you're going to see, and it says this in our starting a meeting chapter, which is unbeknownst to almost everyone I've ever met, it is the only conference-approved tradition chapter that Slay has. And it talks about the specific ways that the disease of sex and love addiction actually distorts service, gets projected on, and how, as we apply the spiritual principles of our steps and our traditions and our concepts within the meeting, within service, it actually becomes the most effective and powerful training ground for having kind, loving relationships I've ever seen. And I've been around a bit and tried a few things. So let's just talk about, say, a meeting. A lot of people don't even know this, all right? Say you have a meeting and you have a chair. You have a time. The chair is a service responsibility, right? They are running the meeting. Now, that person is bound by the traditions and the concepts, right? So they don't get to govern. They don't get to have authority. They don't get to be mean. They don't get to criticize. They are serving. They're not governing. But then the obligation of all the members is to honor that person's willingness to take that responsibility. Concept 10 is the no kibitzing, no backseat driving concept. If you don't like the way someone does that, fine. We have four responses to if we don't like the way someone chairs. And I don't like the way a lot of people chair, and a lot of people don't like the way I chair. That's going to happen. To have someone be happy, there's only one way to have someone never be unhappy with the way I do service, and that's to not do any service, right? That's a surefire way to be able to sit on the sidelines, never get criticized, and get to criticize everybody else, which is why we have our taste in leadership and why participation is the key to harmony and all these things sort of play out. And I'm just going to talk about the next four, God willing, and my phone willing. There's four responses if you don't like the way the chairperson does it, okay? There's four spiritual responses. None of them ever involve criticism. None of them ever involve taking over that service responsibility. Never. None of them involve meanness. There's four responses, and they're gonna sound bad, but they're really not. I mean, they're really gonna give you a response to being unhappy with people that's gonna work out for you 80% better than what you have. I'll guarantee you that. The first one is I get to leave. I get to leave. I get to quietly support that person. And the option two, and work on what is going on inside of me that I hate what they're doing. So I have something to inventory. I have a way to connect with myself. Three, hey, I really hate this. This should not be happening. I'm going to bring it to the business meeting. I have a voice. I just don't have a critical managing taking over from the chairperson voice, but I have a voice. If I care enough, I'll bring it to the business meeting. We'll take a group conscience. That's the one authority. The chairperson isn't the authority. The group conscience is the authority. So I have a way to protect myself, option one. I have a way to learn about myself, option two. I have a voice if I need one, option three. And then option four, I have a voice and I can change things if I want. Option four is I get to do it myself. If somebody really hates the way it is, you know, they say, hey, I'm willing to share. Did you ever hear anybody say, no, you can't do it? Do it. If you really think that things should be done differently, who knows, you may be the instrument of God's peace to change your meeting and to help people. But now, see, look at those. You get to protect yourself. You get to have a voice. You get to make a difference. You get to learn about yourself. Those are the four options we have. And what you're going to see is, within those four responses, wonderful things can happen. And I'm going to talk about the value of each one of those responses. Again, God willing, and my phone not breaking. And the way that can apply in the meeting, but directly for our romantic relationships, which is, we don't talk like enough about that. That's really what we want, those warm, kind, loving, intimate relationships. I think we all want that, but we don't know how to tell if we really have it. And we all have that. We all want that, but we're not really sure how to do it. And that is, in fact, what the steps and the concepts and the traditions provide. And then there's a fifth part, which is about, you know, a lot of people go, well, how do you set a boundary? How do you know if it's them or me? Concept 10 helps you with that, because it says all these duties are clearly defined. And as we practice defining our service responsibilities, we get practice in what a boundary is, how to set it, what happens if people don't like it, what do we do then? All those things that were talked about in the reading, and then actually the answer to all those questions is in our concepts of service. So my goal for today is just to help people see that there is an answer for any question anyone has about how to create kind, loving, satisfying relationships. By doing that, by understanding the traditions and the concepts. So with that, I'm going to pass. You can turn off the recorder. And again, I apologize about last week.